The reading today is from Romans 4, 3, and will be 3 and 13 through 25. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the inheritance of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the inheritance of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, it was reckoned to him, were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
Let us pray. Creator God, as we continue to celebrate Easter, we give thanks for Jesus. And we give thanks for those who looked at all that Jesus did and left us these writings to help us understand you more. Gracious God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. Happy Easter! Yeah, how many times can I get that in, you think? A few more. We went from diversity, from our individualness, to being unified and thinking of how we are connected to each other, to moving into the promises of God that bring new life. Today we celebrate the promises of God. Today we celebrate the promises of God. Our scripture in Romans, as provided by Paul, was his writing of his shared experience, his education, and it was out of a desire of his to spread the gospel message, the good news of Jesus, to others. It was in that writing that we shared today that Paul is looking back at the very beginning of his story, all the way back to Abraham. Now, Abraham believed in God and became the father of many nations. There are three world religions today that stem from Abraham: Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. This book, the beginning half of our Bible, which we call the Old Testament, others call it the Hebrew Bible, it contains the stories of God. In short, it's a fulfilling of covenant making and covenant breaking. That's the real quick synopsis, right? Adam Hamilton writes that in his book, Christianity and World Religions, that God makes several covenants with Abraham, Moses, the Israelites, and King David. God offers blessings and love in return for obedience, trust, and faithfulness. The people willingly enter into these covenants, and yet scriptures record generation after generation who fall away from God. They enter into the covenant willingly, but then they continue to fall away from God. When the people wander away from God and from the covenant that protects them, the surrounding nations attack them And then the people cry out to God, and God mercifully delivers them, restores their covenant, and they start the process all over again. It sounds kind of exhausting, doesn't it? To just do it over and over and over again. And yet, God promises to be with God's people. So God remains. Thinking about covenant, thinking about promise, thinking about agreement. I like to think of covenant as more than just a contract, right? A contract would maybe be like there's a marriage contract or a mortgage contract, right? There's homeowners associations, those types of contracts. There's work contracts, I'll do my job, you pay me, right? There's purchase agreements, I'll buy this product, it will work, right? So there's all sorts of contracts, but I think that covenant is bigger than a contract, not just a bunch of words on a page or a promise of this and then that. To me, covenant is an understanding between two parties that bind them together with not only law, but with love. There's more pieces to it, more layers. Now, we make promises all the time, right? Some of them pretty easy ones, some of them more complicated, right? Some of us use our pinkies to make sure the other person knows we really mean it, right? Yeah, you've done a pinky promise, right? Yeah. Some even mark their covenant, their promises with a little drip of blood. God, I haven't done that in 100 years, right? Yeah, but we used to do that, right? We have to mark it in blood to make sure that it's true. Some of them seal our promises with a ring or with a symbol that this is the day that promise happened, right? And we will remember it and honor it. But when we think about contracts and covenants, I invite us to think about the deeper promise that each of those brings. See, with a covenant, I feel like it's this long-term thing. It's more than just a promise that you're going to do this, but it's that you're going to stick to it. There's stick-to-itness in there, right? Longevity, care. There's care, there's love, there's hope. Now, God called Abram and his wife Sarai to leave his father's house and to go be an immigrant in a new land. In Genesis 12:4, it says, "So Abraham went." I love scriptures like that are really clear, right? God called, so Abraham went, right? And Abram went and did just as God commanded him to do. Now, he had challenge. There was great stories of escape, right? There's a lot of heartache. It was a journey, but Abraham went. And Abram stayed faithful. And so did God. We often like to look at Abram's faithfulness, Abraham and Sarah's faithfulness. But God was faithful too. Genesis chapter 15, we hear that God made a covenant with Abram, first reminding him that he should not be afraid. They always say that when something scary is coming, right? Yeah. So God said, "Abram, don't be afraid." And as God had been, because God had already been with Abram through all of this and said, "I was your shield. I was there. I protected you." And then God promises Abram that many nations will come from him. But it's after Abram and Sarah use Hagar to step in to help fulfill the promise that they thought God needed help with, that God appears again before Abram, and Abram goes face down before God in reverence, in obedience. And in that moment, God changed Abram's name to Abraham. And God changed Sarai's name to Sarah. And with it spoke a blessing to Sarah, that she would be the mother of many nations. Now, Paul expects that all of us who are reading the book of Romans, any of us who hear it, already have that background information. We know that story of Abraham and Sarah. Then he thought he needed to remind us that it's not just knowing the story, knowing the events that occurred, but also knowing that Abraham believed, and it was his faith that God saw in him. It was not just Abraham's adherence to the law, but through the righteousness of faith, for the law brings wrath. It is faith, it is in our faith, in our order of sticking to the promises, that we can rest in the grace and be guaranteed the promise. It is through faith. It also says in there that Abraham was hoping against hope when he believed in God's promise. Sometimes I'm a little too honest with you maybe about who I am, but I will tell you one part of who I'm not. I am not like that. Hope is one of the hardest things for me. Too honest? Sorry. I believe in hope, and I believe that it's out there, and I believe there's reasons to hope, but it's a hard one for me to grasp. I like the tangible, right? I love math. Numbers add up, right? I like that. I like seeing that you plant something in the ground, and then this grows up, and this many tomatoes will come off of that plant, right? And they should come about this time, right? If you do the process, then the fruit comes out, right? I really love that. Concreteness. But it says that Abram, and you can imagine if you read all of his story, you'd understand why, but he didn't always have that completeness, that process. And yet he still had hope because God made a promise to him. With obedience, with follow through, and with hope. Paul reminds us that Abram didn't weaken his faith when his body, what did it say, aged, right? I am so old, right? Yeah, I thought today we should have maybe sang, this is the day with those who feel old and those who feel young. Yeah. Because a lot of it is our feeling, right? Sometimes our bodies age beyond us, but sometimes it's our feeling. Sometimes we just feel old. But Abram didn't stop when his body was aged or when he had walked too many steps. He kept with the faith. And I am no Abraham, which is why I really, really love the next part of this. Romans chapter 5, if you kept reading in the Bible from after where Alice left off. In Romans chapter 5, it says, therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ooh, a good reminder that our imperfectness, our lack of getting it done, our inability at times to do all of the things to remain faithful is what we are called to do, to trust in the promise, even when we can't get all the stuff right. That's comforting to me, especially in the world today, when it's so visibly a challenge sometimes to see God's promise fulfilled. There's a lot of barricades, a lot of filters that try to get in our way of seeing God's promises. And yet, God's promise extends beyond those who are expected to receive it. God's promise was lived out through an immigrant, one that was too old, one that had gone through a journey of uncertainty and long roads and at times very scary places. And yet Abraham followed God, and God stayed with Abraham. I take heart in Paul's reminder that Abraham and God had this promise. I like to sit sometimes in the idea that God's promise would be too big for today, that we might not be able to handle it, that we have too many complications with layers of history that are being added to and deleted, that we find ourselves sometimes in a context where we don't know where exactly we fit in. But I love remembering that Paul was also sitting in a very complicated place. Yeah. Living in the challenge of both Jewish and Gentile Christians being together and knowing that there was more than one who thought they knew whose land was to be whose and who God promised what to. That hasn't changed. I feel less alone and perhaps even comforted to hear Paul say that even when God was in covenant and they didn't get it right all the time, God didn't leave because of a misstep. I hear comfort in hearing that God loves us and that God saves us and that even when we fail, God will do what God says God will do. I think it's time to celebrate. I love to celebrate. In Darlington, they used to know it was going to be a good day when there was cake. I think they believed that was the only food I really enjoyed. it might be true that it's my most favorite, right? But I like cake because it reminds us to celebrate, right? I love it when we see balloons and we think, ooh, something special is going on, right? Oh, isn't it delightful when there's music playing and people are ready to relax and to enjoy and to think back on the promises and the accomplishments of life. I am thankful for the work that God has done through this church, through Jesus Christ. And so after we celebrated Easter and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are celebrating that God is still speaking to us and moving in us and through us and around us. We're celebrating the promises of God. Remembering we are imperfect people, right? We make mistakes. And sometimes we don't feel like celebrating, but that there is still time to be present with God and to celebrate the promises. And we celebrate that God loves us deeply. God made us for who we are. And that's exciting to God when we live out who we are, knowing that each of us bears different gifts. Abraham and Sarah's story reminds us that God called someone and they responded. I don't think that God is done calling people. And I sure hope we're not done responding. Today, I invite you to consider how you, too, want to respond to God's grace and God's promise. How we can embrace it, how we can live it out, how we can celebrate it. How we can hold on to God even when circumstances don't feel ideal. How we can act courageously and step out in faith. How we can embrace the promises of God. Friends, I invite you to consider how your sacredness is worthy of being unified through the promise of God to bring new life to this world. I pray that your relationship with God is enhanced this week, that you foster that relationship. I pray that you accept your reflectiveness of God, that you celebrate our diversity, that you celebrate what commonalities unify us, and that you remember that God has fulfilled God's promises, God has been faithful. From our faith, may we recognize the new life that God is offering in this place. With God's help, may it be so. Amen.